My Life in Christ, starting page 261. What a high dignity, honor, and happiness it is to pray for men for this precious possession and inheritance of God. With what gladness, boldness, zeal, and love we must pray to God, the Father of mankind, for his people, redeemed into him by the blood of his Son. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Revelation 14:4. Hear, O priest of God, to you it often happens to converse with God by means of a set form of prayer. Do not let your tongue speak falsely, your lips saying one thing and having another in your heart, or saying and not feeling what you say. If you are praying for someone, for anyone, do not let there be any diabolical craftiness and duplicity in you, but pray to the Almighty God, who tries the very hearts and reins, with your heart as well as your lips, and in order that you may always pray sincerely to the Lord God, despise everything earthly. Be without partiality for all the goods and delights of this seductive, corrupt, and fleeting world, food, drink, pleasures, money, dress, and various ornaments and distinctions, the comfort of your temporary abode. Consider all this as dross, corruption, and water. Be temperate. Love God with all your heart, undividedly, not only superficially or anyhow. Love him with all your mind and all your strength, and not slightly, so that nothing could tear you away from the love of God, neither sorrow nor oppression nor persecutions and misfortunes, nor death nor life nor anything else. And love your neighbor as your own self, magnanimously bearing with his faults, infirmities, errors, the outbreak of his passions. Remember, it is a great matter to converse with God, who continually sees us, continually hears us, trying our hearts and reins. Do not let your heart lie. Do not let it be cold towards God and your neighbor during the time of prayer for your neighbor. Remember, God shall judge you for everything, for every idle or insincere word. And meanwhile, the enemy from time immemorial, the father of lies, the devil, does not slumber and endeavors to harden by every means your passionate heart and to make it insensible, false, and crafty, endeavors to drive away from your heart faith and hope in God, together with love for him and love and sympathy for your neighbor, and to occupy you solely with worldly temporary interests. Watch yourself, the source of your heart, O priest of God, and do not bind yourself by worldly carnal desires and pleasures. Let your happiness be the one God and the human soul. Be soul-loving and not money-loving or sensual. Lord, accomplish all this thyself, for without thee we can do nothing. St. John 15:5. So be it, so be it. The most merciful and bountiful Lord is everything to all and to me, a miserable sinner, and I have nothing of mine own the renunciation of every possession. I ought to reverently thank God for everything, for the currents of air, light, water, for every mouthful of food, for clothes. Everything, even our bodies themselves, are indeed only earth and water. Amen. We are all one, and must love one another as ourselves. The selfish grudging of anything to another, and the vexation at giving, the impulse to grudge, proceed from the devil. Every attachment to earthly thing is an enticement of the devil and of our own self-love. What does the Holy Church instill in us by putting in our mouths, both during prayers at home and in the church, prayers addresses, not by a single person, but by all? She instills in us constant mutual love in order that we should always and in everything, during prayer and during worldly intercourse, love one another as our own selves, in order that we, imitating God in three persons, constituting the highest unity, should ourselves be one formed of many, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. St. John 17:21. Common prayer on the part of all teaches us also to share earthly needs with others, so that in life also we may have everything in common and as one. That is, the mutual love should be evident in everything, and that each one should use his capacities for good of others, not hiding his talent in the ground, that he should not be selfish and hide. If you are wise, give advice to the foolish. If you are educated, teach the ignorant. If you are strong, help the weak. If rich, help the poor. When you are praying alone and your spirit is dejected and you are wearied and oppressed by your loneliness, remember then, as always, that God the Trinity looks upon you with eyes brighter than the sun. Also all the angels, your own guardian angel, and all the saints of God, truly they do, for they are all one in God, and where God is, there are they also. Where the sun is, thither also are directed all its rays. Try to understand what this means. Always pray with a fervent heart, and to attain to this, never eat and drink excessively. Remember with whom you are conversing. Men very often forget with whom they are conversing during prayer. Who are the witnesses of their prayer? They forget that they are conversing with the vigilant and all-seeing God, and that all the heavenly powers and the saints of God are listening to their converse. If enemies surround you and you are in spiritual distress, call immediately upon our Most Holy Lady. She is queen in order that she may reign for her sovereign power over the powers that oppose us, and may mightily succor us, for we are her inheritance. We are all one, and there is one Lord for all, for the angels, for the saints, for all material worlds, and for each smallest part of them. Behold the fowls of the air, consider the lilies of the field. If God so clothes the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? St. Matthew 6:26-28. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, mutual love, and all these things shall be added unto you from God. See Matthew 6:30-33. This is the most indispensable truth for you. Follow it. Set your hope in everything upon God, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Indeed, how is it possible to live as we live, as though there were no God caring for us? We think to order everything ourselves. We think to provide for ourselves, setting aside the thought of God who cares for us all. Do not merely not care for pleasures and fine things, but do not even care for your own sinful flesh. For by the slightest attachment to all these things, you anger God. Whilst we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18. You see, therefore, that you are not to pay attention to visible things. Let them be as though they did not exist, but you must pay attention to invisible things. For the former are temporal and the latter eternal. Decide this: if you seek the invisible, then God will provide the visible for you, as he has done until now. What greatness it is for the Christian, and above all for a Christian priest, that he becomes one with Christ and God the Savior through his holy sacrament. When communicating of the holy mysteries, a priest say in your heart, come unto me, life giver, to rescue me from the jaws of the serpent of hell, to cleanse me from the impurity of passions, to appease my troubled heart, to give life to my deadened soul, to rejoice my sorrowful and despondent spirit. Come to feed me, starving from the sinful hunger, to clothe me naked of every virtue, to strengthen me, the infirm, to honor me, the dishonored, to exalt me, the base, to ennoble me, the despised, to enlighten my darkened soul. Thou bestowest every blessing upon me. I thank thee, O most merciful one. Our heart is like a darkened earth. The gospel is the sun, enlightening and giving life to our hearts. May the true sun of thy righteousness shine in our hearts, O Lord. When I look more closely upon some of the poor and talk with them, then I see how meek, lovable, humble, simple-hearted, truly kind, poor and in body, but rich in spirit they are. They make me, I who am rough, proud, evil, scornful, irritable, crafty, cold towards God and men, envious and avarice, ashamed of myself. These are the true friends of God. The enemy, being aware of their spiritual treasures, awakens in his servants, that is, in proud, rich men, contempt and ill feelings towards them, and would like to wipe them off the face of the earth, as if they had no right to live and walk upon it. O friends of my God, my poor brethren, it is you who are the truly rich in spirit, whilst I, the real beggar, accursed and poor. You are worthy of sincere respect from us, who possess the blessings of the world in abundance, but who are poor and needy in virtues, abstinence, meekness, humility, kindness, sincerity, fervor, and warmth towards God and our neighbor. Lord, teach me to despise outward things, to turn my mental vision inwardly, and to value inward, and despise outward things. Grant that I may observe this in my relations towards the rich and the powerful of this world. A miser values things and does not value the man who requires these things. He is sparing of the things and unsparing to the man, that though the man is a priceless being, he does not grudge himself anything, but he grudges giving to others. He loves himself, he does not love others. But in general, everything is dross and water. The inexhaustible Lord is everything to all. He has subdued the whole world like dust and hay under the feet of man. Charity suffers long. 1 Corinthians 13:4. That is, it does not immediately punish the one who sins, but patiently endures his lapses, teaching and correcting him, whilst the natural nature of malice is to immediately strike an antagonist or to make him unhappy, punish him to extremes. It is amazing how evil and impatient we are. If our brother has sinned, we're not sorry that he sins. We do not weep from brotherly love at his willful insanity or his passion, but we bear malice against him. We despise him for his sins, whilst meanwhile perhaps we ourselves are or were guilty of the same, and were indulgently forgiven our sins, and only thanks to the indulgence of our superiors have at last somehow corrected ourselves of these failings, passions, and vices, and became good for anything. If we happen to be even now guilty of the same sins, only not so gravely as our erring brother, it signifies that we too are answerable for them. How then can we be otherwise than indulgent to our erring brethren? Thus, in punishing others for sins and crimes, we must also remember our own weaknesses, our vices and passions, past and present, and punish our subordinates lovingly, pityingly, and patiently, and not angrily, not pitilessly, impatiently, hastily, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. It is not without reason that the apostles place a long suffering and mercy at the first sign of our love for our neighbor. Charity suffers long and is kind. For every man is infirm, weak, rash, easily inclined to every sin, but at the same time he may also easily think better of it, rise up and repent under the favorable conditions. And therefore it is necessary to be patient to his infirmities and sins, as we ourselves would wish others to be indulgent to our infirmities, and seeing them be as though they did not notice them. But in those cases, however, where the sin acts injuriously upon others, or when it is connected with the omission of the duties of our calling, or when it attains great dimensions, then an immediate strictness is necessary for retaining or putting a stop to it, or for removing the injurious person from the midst of the well-intentioned people. Put away from among yourself that wicked person. one could infinite strive to achieve. God did not spare for our sakes even his only begotten Son. How then, after this, can we grudge anything to our neighbor, either food, drink, clothing, or money, for his various needs? The Lord gives much to some and little to others in order that they may provide for each other. The Lord has so ordered that if we willingly share the bountiful gifts of his mercy with others, then they serve to benefit our soul and bodies by opening our hearts to the love of our neighbor, whilst our moderation in using them serves to benefit our body, which does not become satiated with overloaded by them. But if we use these gifts selfishly, avariciously, and greedily for ourselves only, and grudge them to others, then they become injurious to our soul and body, injurious to the soul, because greediness and avarice close the heart to the love of God and our neighbor, and make us repulsive, self-lovers, increasing all our passions, and injurious to the body, because greediness produces satiety in us and permanently impairs our health. We ought to confess our sins more frequently in order to strike a scourge and scourge the sins by open avowal of them, and in order to feel a greater loathing for them. Think, man, unto what misery audacious sin has cast you, and what has been done for your salvation by our Master Christ, the Son of God. Remember his incarnation, his voluntary self-extinction, his intercourse with men, his words, his miracles, how he was mocked, reviled, spat upon, scourged, buffeted, and lastly remember his most shameful crucifixion upon the cross, his death and burial, and his resurrection from the dead. Think what he bore to save us from everlasting torments, and what he requires from you in return, that you should give yourself up wholly to him, that you should live not for yourself, but for him, fulfilling his commandments. Shun therefore everything that draws you into sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Crucify your flesh with its passions and lusts. Save your soul by patience. Love God and your neighbor as yourself. What has the Lord of our life done for us, insignificant, ungrateful, and evil-natured creatures? He came down from heavens. He assumed our flesh, worked many and various miracles. He suffered, shed all his blood, died, descended into hell, bound Satan, destroyed hell, freed the prisoners bound in hell, and brought them up to heaven. He rose from the dead in order to raise us also with him. Let us fulfill his last will and testament, and that let us love one another. Let us cease offending him by our self-will and resistance. Lord, help us. We ought to be one spirit with the Lord, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of love, of goodness, meekness, long-suffering, mercy. He that has not the spirit in him is not of God. Thus I ought to be love, solely love, counting all as one, that they all may be one. May it be so, Lord, help me. how will it be with us in the future life when everything that has gratified us in this world, riches, honor, food and drink, dress, beautiful furnished dwellings and all attractive objects, how will it be, I say, when all these things leave us, when they will all seem to us as dream, and when works of faith and virtue, of abstinence, purity, meekness, humility, mercy, patience, obedience, and others will be required of us? We ought to have the most lively spiritual union with the heavenly inhabitants, with all the saints, apostles, prophets, martyrs, prelates, venerable and righteous men, as they are all members of one single body, the Church of Christ, to which we sinners also belong, and the living head of which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. This is why we call upon them in prayer, converse with them, thank and praise them. It is urgently necessary for all Christians to be in union with them if they desire to make Christian progress, for the saints are our friends, our guides to salvation, who pray and intercede for us. Trample the flesh underfoot, that is, its passions, put it and everything carnal on a level with the dirt, and do not care for it. Lord, thine is the power, help us. When we count everything carnal and sinful as nothing, then the Lord will be everything to us. The Lord shall then reign in our hearts upon the ruins of our earthly attachments. Through our attachments to the flesh, its lusts, or through excessive estimation of the flesh and of everything carnal, the devil reigns in our hearts, fulfilling his impious will, driving God's kingdom from our hearts and destroying the work of Jesus Christ, our salvation, our elevation unto heaven. This is true. Despise the flesh, for it passes away, preparing to the saints a reverent Holy Father. But in the present time, men of this world set all values upon the flesh and carnal things, and none on the spirit and spiritual things, such as faith and virtue. The Lord does not dwell in a heart in which reigns greediness and attachment to earthly blessings, to earthly pleasures, money, etc. This is daily provided by experience. In such a heart dwell cruelty, pride, presumption, scornfulness, malice, vengeance, envy, avarice, vanity, and boastfulness, theft, deceitfulness, hypocrisy, and dissimulation, craftiness, flattery, cringing, fornication, profane speaking, violence, treachery, and perjury. We are all one through unanimity of love and through spiritual regeneration, and the Heavenly Father is everything to all of us. Our Father which art in heaven, we are one brotherhood with one spirit. Now, if any man has not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Romans 8:9. Let us understand this. We are the Church of Christ, of which the head is Christ himself, who is meek and humble, inexhaustible in his mercies to us, if only we live in mutual love. We are the flock, he is the shepherd. We are the members, he is the head. How can the members be proud of anything when they receive everything from the head? If we are in lively, active union with the members of Christ here, if we love them in deed and in truth, then God's saints will be lively, active upon in union with us. And whatever we ask them, they will obtain for us from Christ our God, for those whose sake they sacrificed all that was dear to them. Do we have received life from God, the life of all, bring to Him as an offering our life, the fruits of our life, as did our forefathers, the prophets, apostles, martyrs, prelates, venerable and righteous men, and all the saints? Do we ever think of this daily? Do we not only live for ourselves? Do we live in accordance with the commandments and ordinances of the life giver? If not, what prevents our doing so? The love of ourselves, self-love. Let us offer our self-love as a sacrifice of love to the Lord. For what are we of ourselves? Sin, corruption. You are daily asked for alms, and you ought daily to give vigilantly, without anger, harshness, and murmuring. You do not give your own, but you give that which belongs to God, to God's children, who bear the cross and have scarcely where to lay their heads. You are only a steward of God's property. You are the daily servant of the least of the Christ brethren, and therefore you must fulfill your duty meekly, humbly, and unwaveringly. You will thus be serving Christ, the judge and recompenser, a great honor, a great dignity. Do good work with gladness. Money comes to you easily without great labor, and you should distribute it easily without thinking much about it. Your labors are generously rewarded. Be generous to others. They are not rewarded in accordance with their merit. Do not give to others in accordance with their merit, but for their need's sake. Glory be to God.